Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, November 3rd, 2011. Well, Chan's comment in a recent interview with Down Here's Mark Martel got me thinking about one of the biggest challenges artists face. Quote, "We're in our mid-30s and look at our friends who all have great jobs, great careers, and provide for their families, while we're, in some way, starving artists. The music industry is not easy to make it in. You can spend your whole career trying to make it." Well, the question that came to my mind was, why do many artists, Christian or otherwise, still find financial security such a fleeting concept? Why do so many artists find there's too much month left at the end of the money instead of vice versa? Well, in conversations I've had with some artists, the idea of patronage comes to the forefront. The idea that a person, an institution like the church or a corporation, providing an artist with the money they need to live seems like a good one. But even in the past, that patronage has come with strings attached, which eventually affected both the art and the artists. And of course, as Christians, we have the competing biblical concepts of the worker being worthy of their hire and that God will provide for all our needs, if we have an active faith in Him. Yet I still meet artists who still consider themselves as living through the starving artist period of their career. Sometimes it's a joke, sometimes it's a reality. Well, I don't think there's an easy answer. I do believe there needs to be a balance between those who recognize that art is needed and artists are worthy of being financially compensated for their work, and the active faith of artists in the provision of God. But where those two roads meet is still a question mark. Well, what are your thoughts? Do you agree? Disagree? Drop me a line at robert@selawministries.ca. That's robert@selawministries.ca. And let's keep this conversation going. Keep listening, and I'll repeat the email address at the end of today's show.
Top a river in the canyon, vastness that took my breath away. Then it quickly disappeared and hid within the shadows, changed its shape there for another day. It creeps on up into your room and steals into your dreams, and unlocks all the doors into the palace. Now a clear and sparkling pool, sometimes a muddy stream, then again and soften this bright sadness. Now it was taught some time ago for those with ears to listen. It's like a treasure and it's like a pearl. And then it's not just quite like this, even just like that. No, not easily caged within this world. On up into your room and steals into your dreams and unlocks all the doors into the palace. Now a clear and sparkling pool, sometimes a muddy stream, then again and soften this bright sadness.
That was Glenn Soderholm with the title track from his CD This Bright Sadness. Well, Lost and Found Theater celebrates life, as it says on its website, by creating rich theatrical journeys with its audience. Today's guest, Richard Quinnell, is part of that that experience as one of the members of Lost and Found Theater. Good evening, Richard.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
Good. Now, we had a chance to talk a few months ago, but we may have some more listeners, new listeners, and somebody who's forgotten. Can you give us sort of the Reader's Digest version of the history of Lost and Found Theater?
Lost and Found Theater began long, long ago as a missions to come to Canada in order to create theater for a company called Theater and Company. My wife was one of those people. And after several years of producing some really fantastic theater and company dissolved, and some of the members decided that they still wanted to do theater, so they created an ensemble called Lost and Found. And we still have several of the original members of Lost and of Theater and Company with us at Lost and Found, but we have expanded to include a lot more people in the Kitchener-Waterloo community, and the ensemble of Lost and Found is growing. Our whole mandate being to bring live theater to the people of the Kitchener-Waterloo area that challenges and excites and maybe even educates in some way. So that's what that's sort of our mandate. That's what we hope to do.
Now, you mentioned that that when Theater and Company started, it was sort of as a missions ministry into Canada.
Yeah.
I think some people might not have realized that, because both Theater and Company and Lost and Found, you don't just do Christian theater or theater for Christians. You just do theater. Like, you choose plays that are good, solid theater. How do you find the balance? Do you ever get any criticism about that, or just people saying, hey, this is a good theater company, let's go watch what they're doing this year?
Well, we hope that that's what we get, is the latter, that people just want to come to see good theater, and we try and do it as professionally as possible. We have had criticisms on both sides, to tell you the truth. There were some people, there happens to be a stigma sometimes with people thinking that Christian theater, all it does is either paint nothing but rosy pictures of the world, or all it does is try to preach. And we also, on the other side of the spectrum, there are people that that want to see Christian theater and think that that regular theater perhaps is not their cup of tea. So we try and bring both ends together into the middle. We don't do theater that is that is anti-religious. We don't do theater that is that goes against the precepts of the Bible. We make very sure that anybody in the ensemble, if they have a problem with the play, if they think the play speaks to an area that we should not be in, then we won't do that play. But we also can't ignore that we are in the world, and sometimes we have to portray things on stage in order to show that this is the way the world works, and what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think part of it too is, and I think I heard I was interviewing somebody recently, and they said that you know, all truth is God's truth, whether it's being spoken through someone who's a Christian or someone who isn't.
Sure.
That when you're looking at sort of that capital T truth, and you can find that in the works of Chekhov and Ibsen too,
Absolutely. You know,
some of the modern playwrights and that. And I know that when we talked before, you were saying that, you know, one of your roles within the company is to be involved in that selection of plays and looking at some of the works that are going on.
Yes.
Do you sort of filter those decisions through, you know, does this fit in with our Christian worldview? Is that part of the process you go through when you're looking at plays?
We certainly look at that. We certainly discuss it. Part of the way we function is as a Christian worldview, that we function as an ensemble to say everybody has a say. Everybody gets to put their two cents worth in. It's not a top-down authority. I don't get to say this is what you must do and that's it. Either go to it or get out. We all have to have a say. And as I mentioned, if anybody has a real problem, then we either seriously reconsider the play and have, you know, and talk them into it, or find out why, or we just don't do it. But we certainly are concerned about doing any play that would cause harm.
Mm-hmm. Now with theater, with Lost and Theater and Company, with Lost and Found Theater,
all the time.
Yeah. So with Lost and Found Theater, one of the things is it's not just the plays that you do and the performances. There's a lot of other things that are going on behind the scenes. You have a young ensemble.
Yep.
Program that's going on, just the simple fact of helping develop playwrights and things like that. Give us an idea of what are some of the things outside of the theater performance element that Lost and Found does.
Well, we have a mandate for education, We like to bring the young people along into the theater world to show them what goes on behind the scenes and how they can get involved and how they can fulfill themselves artistically. And that's part of the YET program, the YET, the Young Ensemble Training Program, that we have initiated, in which we will have classes for young upcoming theater artists by professionals in all aspects of theater: voice, movement, stage combat, stage management, even the technical side, lighting, set design and building, everything that anyone might be interested in getting involved in the profession. We like to do that because we want to encourage the young people to say that theater is something that they could do, not only for self-satisfaction, but if they happen to be called to that, for a living. And we do think that that's one way of us giving back to the art itself, because if we don't do that, the art might not be here for very much longer. And I do think that that would be a terrible loss for society. On top of that, we also have staged readings. We like to expose the people, the community of Kitchener-Waterloo, to the wide variety of plays that are out there, not only Canadian plays and locally written plays, which we tend to stress in our mandate, but also plays that we feel speak to the community here in Kitchener-Waterloo for whatever reason. So at the Silver Spoons Cafe in downtown Kitchener, we are going to be having a series of staged readings in which actors, professional actors, are just going to read the play, and there will be a stage manager there reading the stage directions, and people will sit and listen, and it's almost, I've heard it compared to a radio play. It's people's imagination then that fills in the blanks. And I've often have had comments, people coming up to me afterwards and saying, my wife dragged me to this, and I thought it's going to be the most boring thing in the world, and they found it the most exciting thing that they have ever come to. So much so that some people have even said, please don't ever produce this play, because all I want to do is hear it being read, because I found it much more interesting.
Well, and then that
stage play.
Yeah, well, stage readings, and I think we talked about this one time before, stage readings is a particular challenge for the actor, because you have to rely totally on voice and character to bring this alive, and not rely on the actual, you know, actions of you know, walking from one place to another and using, you know, the body as part of this. Is primarily your voice and the character that you've developed out of that.
And the words. And I think that's what I rely on most when I do a staged reading. I rely on the playwright's words.
Now, how does an ensemble keep itself fresh? I mean, to a degree, it's just like any other job. There gets to be a point where there are some elements that become routine.
Yeah.
In terms of what you're doing, it's okay, it's another play, I have to memorize this, and each actor has their own particular method they use to memorize their lines and things like that. How do you keep yourself fresh, both individually and as an ensemble, so that when you come and you do a production like Pearl Gidley, that it's coming across as fresh and people are going to enjoy that?
Well, I think that the two are interrelated. When you say, how does the ensemble keep itself fresh and how do the individuals keep themselves fresh, I think that the two are very closely knit. One of the ways that we do that is that the individuals will not just take on one role for too long of a period of time. For instance, I am currently the artistic manager of Lost and Found, which means that I'm the one looking for plays, reading the plays, and then submitting them to the ensemble for their consideration. But I won't be doing that for much longer. After a year or two of doing that, someone else then is going to take up those reins, and I'm going to take on a different position. For Pearl Gidley, I am producing the show, and Alan Sapp is directing, Kathleen Sheehy is acting in it. But our next production, which is Infinite Ache, coming up in March, I'm going to be acting in that show, someone else will be producing, and someone else will be directing. We take on different hats, and it really helps to keep the whole atmosphere fresh. And even in the ensemble, somebody who may be very active in the ensemble for the last 3 or 4 years says, you know what, I'm going to take a year or two off, and we're going to bring in new members of the ensemble to fulfill whatever position that person was fulfilling previously. And we always have new members coming into the ensemble, new community connections that we like to see new board members. So not only do our numbers grow, but they also expand in experience.
Do you also find, too, that people will take roles out in not just acting roles, but other particular things outside of Lost and Found as well?
Oh, we absolutely have to. We are an ensemble members only in our spare time, so to speak. This is a passion for us more than a job, because we all have to make a living outside of Lost and Found.
Great. What I need to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our interview with Richard Quinnell and talk specifically about Pearl Gidley, which is on right now. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection, and we've been listening to the song These Angels from the In the Belly of the Fish CD by Glenn Soderholm. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Lost and Found Theater's Richard Quinnell. One of the plays that Lost and Found is doing this year is Pearl Gidley, and it ends November 5th. Now, I had a chance last spring. There was an event that Imago was doing, and they did a reading for it, and it sounded just absolutely fascinating. Can you give our listeners an idea of what the play itself is about?
It's a play about a lady, strangely enough, called Pearl Gidley. She used to be a concert pianist, and for some reason, she has no longer played the piano. As a matter of fact, there is a piano on stage in her living room that she refuses to play, and on top of that, absolutely demands that no one else play the piano. She has it tuned regularly, but she is insistent that no one actually plays a tune on it. And you spend the play finding out why that is. It also has some characters in it that come into Pearl's life. There is a Vietnam vet that comes and boards with Pearl and her sister. Pearl and Edith live together and support one another, and they're older ladies. And the boarder that comes in, he has some secrets as well. Pearl has secrets, and so does the new boarder that comes in. And through discovering each other's secrets, we find that they help to heal one another.
Now, in terms of looking before, we're looking at the selection process now. Why did Lost and Found choose this play?
One of the reasons, not only is it a very well-written play, and also it is a play that deals with local people. Like Pearl Gidley was a real person. And it was written by our own Gary Kirkham, who is a playwright from Cambridge. And he's also a member of the Lost and Found Ensemble. It fits very well into our mandate of plays that speak to the Canadian experience. They're very... we like to do plays that not only speak to the human condition, but also have some sort of local connection. And this play basically is set in Kitchener-Waterloo and is set back in I believe it's the 1950s. So it should resonate with the local people who come to see it.
Now, when you're looking at something like a production like Pearl Gidley, can you sort of walk us through What goes on? I mean, the day we're recording the interview, it's a day of technical rehearsal. Mm-hmm. Sort of walk us through from the day that you choose the play, you decide out of the ensemble which actors are going to do which role and which members are going to do which role, you know, produce, direct, mm-hmm. that type of thing. Walk us through that whole process to the point of actually getting it on stage.
It's a long one, and there's lots of different stages, and probably the very first procedure that we go through is looking at the play as an ensemble, having everybody read it. We send it around electronically, and we say, who is excited about this play? And if we get the majority, or in this case, all of the ensemble saying, this is absolutely a play that we should do, then we choose it, and we put it on our webpage as this is going to be in our upcoming season. And then we ask who wants to do what. And, of course, we have ensemble members who say, I want to play this role, or I want to play this role. We have an ensemble member that says, I want to direct it, and I wanted to produce it to help to make sure that it gets on to the stage. From there, then, if we would then have to cast the play out of the members who say they want to be considered, we have all hold auditions, and because there are also characters in this play that we don't have someone suitable for in our ensemble, we have to audition outside of the ensemble, and we had professional equity members coming in and auditioning for us. We then cast the play, we then find a place to rehearse it. We find someone who will build the set and design the set and design the lights. And if they're not members of the ensemble, we look outside of the ensemble to the local professionals who we can hire to do that. We then go into a two-week rehearsal period at a place that we can afford. Right now, we are rehearsing at the rehearsal hall at the KWMP, the Kitchener-Waterloo musical productions. And after 2 weeks of intense rehearsal, 8-hour days, basically like going to a job, and we then take it to the registry theater. We do the technical side of the rehearsals, which are several days of making sure the lights, the set, and the sound all work together, and then the actors go on that stage, and we do dress rehearsals with costume and props, and in this case, there's actually a real roast beef dinner is brought on stage, and that has to be cooked every night. So we rehearse all that, and then we get it ready so that on Thursday night, the opening, everything's ready.
And now it all sounds like it runs smoothly, but having been in a few productions, I know it doesn't. Have there been any hiccups right now in terms of getting this together?
Yes, actually, there has been. We unfortunately had to replace one of the actors on the stage. They weren't able to finish the commitment, unfortunately. They felt very bad about that, but they had to leave. So someone else has been cast and is working right now very hard to make sure that they get on the stage. And from the last I heard, things were going very well, and everything's going to be ready. So hiccup averted.
Yeah. Now, looking at your own involvement with the ensemble and that, you mentioned that you're producing Pearl Gidley. You'll be acting in Infinite Ache, mm-hmm. And you're doing the other things in that. Is there any particular task or role that you enjoy more than the others?
I would have to say I was born to be an actor, and so that's always the most fun. But one of the reasons for that, as I have discovered in the last few years when I've been working behind the scenes, is because acting's, it just doesn't seem to be as much work as producing or stage managing. What we don't realize as actors is when we say, I need this prop, and I would really prefer that set piece moves over there, there has to be someone behind the scenes to do all that. And that's where the hard work comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So every actor, I believe, should do the hard work that goes on behind the scenes, because then it makes them appreciate how much has to happen to make them look good on opening night.
In terms of those roles, is there anyone you find particularly challenging?
The most challenging role behind the scenes?
Yeah.
I would have to say stage management.
Yeah, and that
long
that,
hours.
Well, and then you've got to know where everything is.
You got to know everything.
Yeah,
they are the ones that make everything come together, and I'm not just saying that because my wife is a stage manager. although it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, but it is. I mean, when you look at it, and you need to know where the props are, you need to know where the set is, you need to know what goes where when you're changing scenes, who's supposed to be where, and
yes,
things like
that. And the list of people that they have to hold in their head if something goes wrong,
yep,
they have to know who to call and get the problem solved. They have to solve problems on their feet and sometimes at the last minute. One time, Nicole, my wife, who was stage managing a production, the lighting board, what we call, crashed in the middle of a show. Basically, the lighting board is a computer that records all the lighting cues, and all you have to do, after you've programmed it, you just have to push the button at the right time so that it goes to the next lighting look. It completely crashed and erased all the memory, and Nicole, out of memory, and by manually putting the sliders up and down on the lighting board, had to do the rest of the lighting for the rest of the show on the fly.
Wow.
And she was able to do it without anybody really noticing that there was something wrong.
Exactly. Well, and that's the challenge, is even when actors flub their lines and that, is just carrying on as if nothing has happened at all.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. What are the details? Let's tell our listeners about the details of the Pearl Gidley performances. You know, where they are, how can they get tickets, the whole thing.
If you go to www.lostandfound.ca, you're going to be able to find the show schedule, and you're going to be able to purchase tickets online. You can also go to Center in the Square and purchase tickets. We're going to be opening this Thursday night, and we play Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's a Sunday matinee, and next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, there's also a Wednesday show next week starting at 6:30.
Right.
And then usually we run the ends of the weeks.
Right, and everything wraps up on November 5th?
On Saturday, November 5th is your last chance.
And it's at the Registry Theater.
That's correct, 122 Frederick Street.
And give us the website address again for Lost and Found Theater.
www.lostandfoundtheater.ca.
Great.
All one word.
Great. Thank you, Richard. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thanking my guest, Richard Quinnell. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.